This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Good morning, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul.
Well, what a weekend it's been. And, of course, you attended the think tank meeting at the CWA Hall at the weekend. This is the first time you've attended. You were only there as an observer. What did you think?
Look, yes, unfortunately, it is the first time. The previous times I always had other sort of council commitments. So I was really pleased to be able to attend last Saturday. And, look, I think it's great that there's forums where anyone can attend. People can ask questions. I certainly thought that the presentations, all three presentations, were really good, and certainly feedback to me was along those lines. I certainly want to commend our CEO, Mark Stormer. He did a really great job of really demystifying, in many ways, what is the complex job of a local government, and certainly with Douglas, all the different things that we have to deal with, many of which are out of our control in terms of more than 80 legislative acts and policies and programs. Some of them, of course, are set by the state government as well.
I think Mark did a superb job, and you're right, demystifying, breaking it down so we could all understand it, because, you know, we're not in local government, and the way he did it, he simplified it down. Now, he put up three plans by council for our shire. One is in Port, another is in Mossman, and the 30-year plan for the Daintree. Now, Mark Stormer suggested at the think tank that your priority is the Daintree 30-year plan.
I suppose to explain a little bit further, if you go back to some of his presentation as well about the corporate plan and then our operational plan, we've identified in this year's operational plan three key planning strategies, and that's the Port Douglas Blueprint, Mossman 2025 and the Daintree 30-year plan. And so each one of those plans does have a genesis, and it's all about how our staff actually, and the resources that we've got in terms of managing and actually delivering. So if you look back on our corporate plan, theme four is inclusive engagement, planning and partnerships. And as part of that is developing robust strategic plans in partnership with the community and key stakeholders. And so goal two under that theme is developing forward-looking strategies for the future of the communities and to ensure balanced and appropriate planning decisions. And so under that particular goal, we've got the initiative that we're just talking about at the moment. So it's not necessarily that that's a priority over the others. It's really about scheduling, resources to manage it, and the ability to deliver.
Mm. Could I just ask about a couple of the other things? The Mossman 25 plan really interests me, because if you look at Mossman, there's so much more, and we had John Sullivan on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about how Mossman could, the streetscape could improve so much. We've got a wonderful town in Mossman, but tourists tend to go through it on their way to the Daintree, and it's, to me, it's, and I say this with the greatest respect, it's not as an attractive town that I've seen in Australia. Would you be looking in the future, and I know that that's kind of on the back burner just at the moment, but would you be looking at maybe making the town more attractive so people would stop in?
Look, one of the reasons why they put a lot of resources into saving the Mossman Mill is because doing that gives greater confidence to all the property owners, and particularly the retail property. It's been very difficult for them in for a number of years because of the uncertainty of the mill and the future of Mossman. And so, therefore, you know, having being able to have the money to fix up even your own buildings, you can see that we've had some new businesses, Beechwood's restaurant, you know, that's had a huge impact really on Mossman. I remember a couple of years ago, you never really saw cars parked on that side of the street, and now you do. So in terms of what we want to do is do what we can to facilitate further economic development and greater confidence for property owners, and also then by having this plan, we're really identifying with the community what we need to do. And certainly anything we can do to, you know, upgrade the streetscapes, you know, make it as attractive as possible. I do think, though, that a lot of people who do come into Mossman and then they go further to Daintree and Cape Tribulation, for example, do really see a great charm. And there is a great charm for Mossman. You know, the old pubs, the sugar cane, the huge and beautiful mountains behind. And, you know, the Mossman markets, for example, on Saturday. I mean, the place is just jumping.
Mm. But that's attended a lot by locals. I'm trying to grab those tourists with all of that money in their pocket. I think what's missing in Mossman, it just seems to me the streetscape is missing one thing, one vital thing, and that is trees, shade. It just needs trees in that main street. What do you think?
Look, I'd certainly like to have a lot more trees in Mossman. We did do a project a few years ago and we did those planter boxes. I think that was before your time. And we've sort of replaced the bins. They were something that really needed to be replaced. And so we've done some things, but certainly there's always opportunity for improvement. And, love to have more trees. We also have to make sure that we've got an ability to irrigate them as well.
True.
So we've done some things. Many years ago, we actually undergrounded the power, so that provided a greater opportunity to have trees as well. But yes, agree with you, Paul. There's a lot that we want to do, and one of the key things and where to start is having the plan, because that's where we have the community engagement as well.
Mm. Okay, well, let's go on to this one. I think it's an absolute ripper. And this is this free fitness program in Mossman and Port Douglas from mid this month. I love the idea. I take it it's starting soon, and it certainly involves maybe some senior members of our community as well.
Yes, no, what we're going to do, and we're really excited about this as well, we had a similar program a few years ago with the assistance of some funding, but now we've been able to get a greater amount of funding from the North Queensland Primary Health Network. And so this program is focusing on free entry-level fitness, and we're also going to be delivering separate senior programs to the community throughout the Shire. And so all the programs are designed to remove barriers to participation, such as cost, transport, fitness expectation, and there's going to be a huge emphasis on just having fun. And we know that so many people, they want to do these programs not just for their own fitness, but also to actually socialise with other people. I know, for example, Tai Chi that's been going, you know, for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the key things that people do after it's all finished is go out and have a cup of coffee and talk to each other and, you know, what's your week been like? You know, what have you got coming up? And so we've got Aquafit, Tai Chi, Park Zumba. I'm really looking forward to Park Zumba because when I was a councillor with Cairns Regional Council, we started Zumba there down in Cairns, and it's fantastic. And so senior movement and just a few as well of some of the programs. So there's heaps of information on our website, and certainly the program is going to run for about 18 weeks. And it's starting next Tuesday, the 15th of October.
And what about cost, Julia?
No, it's free.
Free. Isn't that good? Free.
That's my understanding. And if that changes, I'll certainly be working so that it is free to everyone. We've also done a lot of work in terms of trying to select, you know, good instructors, so that, you know, it's going to be a really great program.
I think I might get involved in that as well. It just sounds really, really good. We're talking with Mayor Julia Loy at the moment, as we do every Monday around 8 a.m. Julia, Douglas Shire Council, you've released a tender for the repair of two landslips on Murphy Street. Now, that Murphy Street was really hit hard during our bad weather, of course.
Yes, look, the landslip that really occurred there was in March 2018. That particular day in Port Douglas, we had a record rainfall over a period of about 6 to 8 hours from memory.
Mm.
And so we have done emergent works, as you'd be aware of, but the key thing was actually getting a substantial grant from our disaster funding. We've also had to really top that up ourselves because we want to make sure that the work done is going to last well into the future. And so from memory, this is going to all up be around $4 million. It's a huge undertaking, but very, very important. As you're aware, Murphy Street, the proximity to Macrossan Street. And so we've released a tender. We've also had extensive consultation with the residents and business owners. We've reached out to them quite a big way. We've had meetings, the Port Douglas Community Hall. Of course, for those who couldn't attend, we've had one-on-ones with our community engagement officer. We've had surveys. So as a result of all that, we've now got the tender out. And the scope of work, it includes the installation of soil nails and geotechnical reinforcing mesh to the disturbed face. We've got materials also to encourage vegetation regrowth, gabions to reduce erosion, drainage and road upgrades. So we're looking from prospective tenderers for innovative measures because we also not only, of course, want to deliver safety in the shortest possible time frame. We also want to minimise traffic disruptions, dust, vibration and noise during construction.
Mm-hmm.
And our community consultation certainly indicated and revealed to us the importance, of course, of continual access for local residents, tourists and pedestrians who are utilising the walking trail to the beach.
Now, just
and also contractors will have to have at least one lane of Murphy Street open at all times. And where road closures are unavoidable, there may be, an hour or two or here in terms of the work that needs to be done. We do expect these to be for short periods only and occur infrequently. So the tenders close on the 31st of October and we're hoping that a contractor will be appointed in early December and the work's commencing in the new year.
Julia, a question without notice, but I did mention this to the Deputy Mayor the other week. We were talking about there's been a few people injured on that walking track of the Flagstaff Hill. Now, I don't expect you to answer this today. You can check on it further. But those people, I was going to give the Deputy Mayor their name, but they'd prefer to contact the council again direct. A couple of them have said they've contacted the council but haven't got a reply. The Deputy Mayor was surprised with that, and I guess you are too. But I'm just wondering whether you kind of are aware of the fact that there's a few injuries. Now, I know this is, it's a fairly rough track. It's not designed to be super smooth, but there are a few people getting injured. And the other thing is signage up there. I noticed even going for a walk there one day, some people headed off on the wrong direction. I'm wondering whether you're just aware of that and whether you're having a little look into that.
Look, what I'll do is I'll follow that up and talk to you about that next week. Often when people are injured, they do directly contact council. Depending on the severity of it, it may be something that our insurance company deals with, and it's not something that councillors really get involved in. There's a process involved in that. I'll certainly follow that up. The signage, if there is any other repairs underway. Look, with all these things, I suppose we have inspections all the time by our officers, and it's like anything throughout the Shire. Things happen, there can be potholes unexpectedly, all sorts of stuff. So when things are identified that need to be repaired, then it's scheduled so that occurs. So, very happy to follow that up.
Good. Now, just finally, October is Indigenous Business Month, Julia. So many emerging businesses now with Indigenous people taking over some of these businesses and the Gugyalinji people, of course, locally. It's good to see. I love this.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Years and years ago, we did a Douglas Shire tourism strategy. One of the first, I think we were the first local council to do our own individual tourism strategy. And a key thing that was identified in that was the potential for Indigenous businesses run by Indigenous people, because we know that people come here for so many reasons, but what they really want to do as well is talk to our own Indigenous people. They want to find out about the culture. They want to be guided by Indigenous people on their own country. And so I certainly commend Lincoln Brandon and the Gugyalinji Cultural Habitat Tours. They've been going for, I think, more than 20 years now, and they certainly do a fantastic job in showcasing Gugyalinji people's way of life. And, of course, what's happening up at the Mossman Gorge Centre is sensational. I do know that there's a lot of other individual, very sort of small niche businesses that are developing in the arts and cultural area. Skincare products, for example, made from bush foods and bush plants. And also, I know the state government has quite a program as well in trying to assist people who are interested in running their own business.
No, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Anything else to add?
Look, just that we have missed something right in the beginning, and that is the success, wonderful success of the Douglas Dragons, United Dragons, last Friday night.
Yes.
Because what this means, of course, for the second year in a row, Douglas has got three premierships in Aussie rules, rugby league and soccer.
Yes.
On the Douglas side. And so that is an amazing achievement. And certainly we're all really thrilled for the Douglas United Dragons. And it was I wasn't able to get to the game, but I understand it was sensational.
Yes. Well, look, they're scared, of us at the moment, because we are just producing so many great sporting clubs up here. It's wonderful.
It is fantastic. And, for a small population,
yeah.
It's great. And I think what it also shows is the real fantastic work that our local clubs do. And they're, of course, manned by volunteers, mainly parents. When someone sometimes says to me, there's nothing to do for kids here in Douglas, which happens occasionally, I'm a bit gobsmacked, because there is so much to do. There is a huge array of sporting clubs to get involved in, as well as cultural, arts, all sorts of things. So I really want to congratulate all our local clubs, which work really hard at that level, and that's what produces in years to come these fantastic sporting achievements.
Absolutely. Julia, thank you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
No worries. Thanks, Paul. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.